You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor David Wendell, Assistant to the Bishop for Ministry and Ecumenism in the North American Lutheran Church. I'm here in Texas today to visit St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Portland, Texas, facilitating a Fresh Eyes for Mission Summit and preaching on Sunday morning. This is my sermon for the third Sunday after Pentecost. The gospel reading for today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 26 to 34. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a pastor for 40 years now, you never know what will impact someone and who it might be. For example, in my first congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church, Hobbs, New Mexico, I decided to teach my first adult Bible study on the most difficult book of the Bible, Revelation, thinking any book of the Bible would be easy after that. In the first week or so, one of our lifelong Lutheran members asked me a question during Sunday Bible class that stumped me, not intentionally, but hey, it was a Bible study on Revelation led by a newly ordained pastor. So I answered in class a bit sheepishly before God and everybody. I said, "Honestly, I don't know." And after class, that man came up to me and he thanked me and he said, "You know, it was refreshing for a pastor to say, I don't know." He said, "I don't think I ever heard a pastor say that before." And well, he said, it kind of reassured me. And from that point on, I've never hesitated to say, honestly and straightforwardly, "I don't know." Now, that may not be what people want to hear from their pastor, especially the assistant to the bishop who might come to facilitate what we call a Fresh Eyes for Mission Summit in their congregation. The folks who have invited me and their pastor and their leaders might have been expecting and hoping that I would come with all the answers, with simple, easy-to-follow answers to questions which they might be asking, together with many, if not most, Christian congregations in North America today. Questions like, how do we turn this ship around? The ship that is the Church of Jesus Christ in North America, and the ship that is, in this instance, St. Stephen Lutheran Church. In a culture that's decidedly anti-Christian, we see in most every denomination, in most every congregation, slow growth or no growth. We see congregations planted in transitioning neighborhoods where they no longer are able to effectively minister. I talk to pastors all the time who are struggling with how to be a pastor in this crazy, off-the-rails 21st century, even before we were thrown into a global pandemic and shutdown. Congregations in Iowa, South Carolina, New York, and yes, here in Texas, look to the bishop's office and staff, and they ask, Pastor, how do we stop the decline, or in some places, the stagnation, turn things around and see growth again? Well, if we're honest, we will say, we don't know. We don't have all the answers. There is no simple answer, no magic key, no 12-step program to assist Christianity in this difficult time. I do know there are no easy answers, so I don't offer any. Just as there aren't any easy answers to a lot of the other questions being asked by Christians today. Questions like, Pastor, why do I have cancer when I'm so young? Pastor, why did my 3-year-old grandson die in a car accident? Pastor, why is there so much violence in our world today? Pastor, why do we seem to be so divided in our nation today? There are lots of things we might say about such things, but my years of experience have taught me sometimes better not to play the answer man. Better to just say, I don't know. We don't know. We don't have all the answers in life or in faith, do we? In a sense, that's what Jesus is addressing in our gospel reading for today. It's helpful to remember Jesus' words in our reading from the Gospel of Mark are offered while still in the early stages of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus had been baptized, endured his temptation in the wilderness. He'd called the first disciples, healed a man with an unclean spirit, healed a paralytic, taught some about his disciples in fasting and the Sabbath. And then he appointed the rest of the 12. But then already the Pharisees and the scribes were watching Jesus and his followers. And just before these words of Jesus, they were accusing him of being beside himself and possessed by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And when his own mother and brothers came to save him from himself, he seemed to separate himself from his own family, not coming out to greet them, but saying, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And there must have been some sense in which at this point, the disciples might have been asking themselves, what have we gotten ourselves into? We've responded to the call of this rabbi to follow him, to learn from him, to be his disciples, but already he's saying and doing things which John the Baptizer and his disciples aren't doing. He's already in some hot water with our religious leaders, and now he seems to be saying his family isn't his family. So, in chapter 3, Jesus begins to speak with his disciples in parables, figures, images. He's trying to help them understand more about what they've been called to in this kingdom of God. He tells them about the sower sowing seed and how the sower casts seeds this way and that. It falls where it will, and you can't see what happens to it, but sometimes it takes root and grows, and sometimes it withers and dies. But they don't actually seem to understand that, so now Jesus tells them why he teaches using parables, to help them understand what he calls the secret of the kingdom of God. Jesus says to his disciples in chapter 3, verse 11, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." And what is the secret of the kingdom of God? Just after Jesus tells the parable often called the parable of the seed growing secretly. And that's where our reading begins. And the secret of the kingdom of God, do you want to know the secret? I think the secret of the kingdom of God is that you don't know or understand everything. Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed upon the ground and sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, when the time is ripe, the man harvests the grain. The secret is the man doesn't know how it happens, nor does the man cause it to happen. That's the miracle of God's creation. And it's also the miracle and the mystery of God's kingdom. That's clearly what Jesus is telling his first disciples and you and me today. That it is God's kingdom, just as it is God's creation, and he knows how and why, even when we may not. He knows how and why some hear and receive the truth, the word of truth, and it takes root in them, grows and bears fruit, while in others it withers and dies. He knows why this person has cancer and is healed, while that person isn't and is called home to be with the Lord. He knows why there's such division and disunity in the world, in spite of his overpowering love shown in Jesus Christ, the Savior who died to free all people to love and care for each other. The secret of the kingdom of God is that it is God's kingdom, not ours. The secret is that God rules the world and all that is in it, not us. The secret is that God gives and withholds growth when and where and how he sees fit, even though we may not understand God's will and God's ways. The secret is that God alone knows why it is that he gave his only Son to become human, incarnate, to dwell among us full of grace and truth, even as God alone knows why his Son had to die on the cross for our salvation. Even as God alone knows how it was that his Son was raised from death on the third day. We look at Jesus as the first disciples did, dead and buried in the tomb, like the seed which falls to the earth and dies. And we say, what we know is, the dead don't rise. We can't bring our loved ones back from death. But that's the secret of the kingdom of God. We sing in the hymn, now the green blade rises from the buried grain. We eat that in dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love is come again like wheat arising green. See, the secret of the kingdom of God is that though we can't explain it, God created and God has power over life and death. Though we have no record of what happened to Jesus during those 3 days in the tomb, what we know is that love lives again. The hymn makes it even clearer. Forth he came at Easter like the risen grain. He that for 3 days in the grave had lain, raised from the dead, my living Lord is seen. Love is come again like wheat arising green. Pope Benedict, writing on the resurrection, said, but could it really be true? Enlightened thinking would say no. The resurrection accounts in the Bible certainly speak of something outside our world of experience, Benedict says. They speak of something new, something unprecedented, a new dimension of reality that is revealed. We are told that there is a further dimension beyond what was known. This reversal, Pope Benedict says, is one of God's mysteries. In terms of world history, he says, Jesus' resurrection is improbable. It's the smallest mustard seed of history, Benedict says. And yet Jesus tells us, the great, the mighty, is ultimately small. And the tiny mustard seed is something truly great. So it is, Benedict says, that the resurrection has entered the world through certain few mysterious appearances to the chosen. And yet it was truly the new beginning for which the world was waiting. And that is the gospel, the good news for you and for me. For every congregation and pastor wrestling with realities in this modern world, and it's the good news for every home and family, for every nation and people struggling with division and disease and drugs and difficulty and death and the devil, that as God raised Jesus from the dead, there is a new reality so that we too might live new lives. God gives us new hope and new courage and new energy and enthusiasm for life and for living because God can make us new again. Because God can raise us up to enjoy new strength and new vitality with a new beginning. Because God raised Jesus, though we know not how. And I pray that gives hope and encouragement to each and every one of you hearing this message today. To each and every person unsure and uncertain in life, yearning fervently for new courage to carry on, hoping for new possibilities in life. Even as we pray that for those I'm meeting with this weekend who are St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Portland, Texas. Because while we don't have all the answers, what we can say, what we do know, is that the secret of God's kingdom is He brings new life from death. He brings new beginnings from our life's endings. He restores that which may be weak. He encourages those who are down. He empowers those who have stumbled. He even now is at work to cause new life to spring forth from what was and what is. And it's not our own doing. It is God, thankfully, at work among us. So as St. Paul writes in our second reading today, we are always of good courage. We live by faith, not by sight. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. How? I don't know how, but it is a sure and certain secret of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.